Five Stages, a Jetlag the Game RPF podfic, written by Calibang and read to you by Fens and Marshes. 1. Denial. "It's going to be totally fine," Adam said. At the time, he genuinely believed that, because despite being generally intelligent and competent, he was also, apparently, really fucking stupid. "How hard can it be?" "Not hard at all," Ben said. His delivery was so droll that Adam almost didn't register the joke. "Ha ha," Adam said. Probably Ben could tell from his tone that he was nervous. Which was silly. He had nothing to worry about. The cock cage was non-threatening, as cock cages went. Light grey, made of plastic instead of metal. He'd tried it on once before, so he knew it fit properly. And Adam had both a solid level of self-control and a completely reasonable libido. Surely he could make it one single, measly week with his dick locked up. Probably absolutely nothing bad would happen. "You'll be fine," Ben said. His tone was placating, which Adam did not care for, and he wouldn't stop fiddling with the minuscule key that had come with the cage. There were two keys, actually. Sam had taken possession of the other one immediately, before they'd even fully unboxed the cage. "I have some ideas," he'd said, pointedly, which had made something obsessive and hungry in Adam sit up and pay attention. Later, Adam would learn that the main idea was for Ben to lock the cage onto him, and then throw his key in the garbage, so that the only person who could unlock Adam was 2,000 miles away in Colorado, and also a withholding arsehole. Which wasn't quite what Adam had in mind. "Okay," Adam said. He was feeling cautiously optimistic about the whole endeavour. Just 7 tiny little days. No big deal, almost certainly. "Lock in." 2. Anger. Oh, it was horrible. It was so horrible. It was worse than horrible. It was unjust. "This sucks," Adam said. He reached down and tugged impotently at the cage, wincing at the sore, hot pinch at the base of his dick, the swollen ache of his balls. He was face down on the bed, feeling distinctly and humiliatingly like he was throwing a tantrum. His dick, in its cage, was tender, leaking wetness at the tip, his whole body alight with frenetic energy as he compulsively rutted his hips against the mattress, once, twice, 3 times, until he could, with effort, get himself under control. "You're really not going about this strategically," said Ben. He was flushed and sleepy, looking deeply sated and cherubic from the probably excellent experience he'd just had jerking off all over Adam's thighs. Adam tried not to feel snapped levels of homicidal and failed miserably. "Probably it would be better if we just stopped fucking this week, for you." "I'm supposed to just not have sex with my boyfriend?" Adam said. "That's sick and twisted, potentially even homophobic." Occasionally, he was so overcome with feeling, in this case righteous anger, that he just actually could not control what came out of his own mouth. "I mean, I obviously had fun," Ben said. "I personally support continuing to fuck. I bet you'd be so tight like this." A hot bolt went through Adam, and he once again lost the battle to keep his hips still. 3. Bargaining. This was unbearable. It simply couldn't be borne. It was 2:45 in the morning. Adam opened up his laptop. "What are you doing?" Ben said, from directly behind him. Adam jumped and, insanely, brought his hand up to cover the screen of his computer, which did approximately nothing to stop Ben reading the email he'd been drafting. "Holy shit, how long is that? Are you emailing Sam?" "Shut up," said Adam, feeling himself blush. "You shut up," Ben said, without rancor. He pushed Adam physically away from the laptop to get a better look at the screen. "Adam, this is insane. You can't send him your sex dreams via email." "I'm trying to entice him," Adam exclaimed. I just think if he understood the depths of my suffering, he'd fly out here and unlock me.
He definitely won't, Ben said. But I can't knock the hustle.
In the end, Adam sent 2,000 words on his extremely vivid dream about them tying him up and using Ben's vibrator on him until he came twice, along with an embarrassingly impassioned plea that he would gladly try whatever improbable sex thing Sam secretly wanted if he'd fly to New York 2 days early and unlock him.
Are you just assuming he has an improbable secret sex thing he wants to do? Or do you know something? Ben asked. He'd been reading over Adam's shoulder for the past 15 minutes, and also jerking off, which made Adam feel crazed and almost teary, so he was refusing to either watch or participate.
Don't we all have those? Adam said.
Nice try, Sam sent in the morning. See you Saturday.
4. Depression. The living room carpet was as good a place to lay down and die as any.
I tried telling Sam about how you've been propositioning me like 10 times a day, and that if we don't intervene I'm going to be sexed out forever, Ben said, petting Adam's hair gently. But he said to trust the process.
Adam tried to feel indignant that they were conspiring against him, but couldn't summon the energy.
I don't even want to have sex anymore, Adam said, glum. I just want to lay here.
I'm gonna be honest, I'm a little bit concerned about how limp you are right now, Ben said. But I think you can have until dinner to be sat on the floor, given the circumstances.
Adam let out a deep, full-body sigh. He'd take what he could get.
5. Acceptance? Dinner went a long way to restoring his mood. And even better, it was Friday night. In not even 24 hours, he'd be free of this ordeal and fully capable of getting himself off any time he wanted. Sure, he'd suffered some indignities, but as with many trials and tribulations, he had nearly borne the period of it being so over, and now was earnestly looking forward to being so back. He just had to wait, and everything would work itself out. He woke up to Ben's voice, which was unusual in that Ben usually slept between 1 to 3 hours longer than Adam did. The reason for this quickly became clear. Ben was on the phone. He winced when he saw Adam awake and alert.
So, don't freak out, said Ben. But Sam's flight is delayed.
Oh, no. Sam, I think he's back to anger.
What followed was an interlude in which Adam had what could only accurately be described as a meltdown, and then Ben physically shoved a pair of sneakers into his hands and forced him out the front door. It turned out orgasm grief was cyclical.
Go walk around outside and count to 10,000, Ben said. I'm not kidding, you're being such a nightmare.
Adam felt this was a pretty rude thing to say for someone who had come in/on him no less than twice daily for the past 6 days, but before he could say anything, Ben had already shut and locked the front door. By the afternoon, Adam had regained some amount of his critical faculties, and he returned to the apartment and bravely only asked Ben 4 times if they could check Sam's location, which Sam had stopped sharing with Adam at some point in the last 8 hours. It didn't stop him physically pacing the apartment and checking the peephole until, at long last, Sam arrived, with one backpack and the key, the most beautiful sight Adam had ever seen, tied to a string bracelet around his wrist. +1. Adam had had a lot of sex over the past 7 days, but he had never managed to convince his dick that they weren't going to come. Now he felt crazed, on edge, kissing Ben so frantically as he tugged him towards the bedroom that he tripped rather than sat on the bed.
Wow, Sam said, a towering presence in the doorway. He is gagging for it.
I told you, Ben said, as Adam undid his belt with desperation.
Unlock me, unlock me, unlock me, whined Adam, well past the point of caring about his own dignity. He needed to come so badly his hands were shaking. He'd go down on his knees right now if he thought it would mean getting the cage off faster. Please. No, said Sam. Adam experienced a rush of shock so potent he couldn't move. It was moments like this, Sam stalking towards the bed, shoulders broad, that Adam really became aware of the size difference between them. We're both gonna fuck you first, said Sam. And after that, I guess we'll see. The end. Thank you for listening. This was Five Stages by Calibank.